You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 257, wow, of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Happy Monday. It's Kyle and Ben, ready to get your week started, talk a little golf, have some fun, and let's just get this thing going. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country.
The world.
If you took, we're recording this on Sunday. If you took a little, they got prop bets. If you had a little, Dallas Cowboys running back, I think just went down. So if you had a prop bet on him, you're not happy right now. So, but they got prop bets, first half, second half, live betting, everything you can ever imagine. Basketball every single day, a few more rounds of the NFL playoffs. Use your coupon code BLEAV, BLEAV. Get signed up, win some money. Take advantage of that bonus. So, BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Ben.
Yo.
This weekend, the American Express Championship, John Rahm, takes the dub, by one shot over Davis Thompson, local guy, Davis Thompson from Lee Scott Academy here in Auburn, Alabama.
How about that?
It's a tournament that's somewhat forgettable. And we're going to talk more about that, but it's in California. It's in three courses. They play on three different courses and none of them really look like they're in California. It's weird, but,
they're in the desert.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There's not a ton to talk about this. I'll just give you a quick summary. They just light this course, these courses up. I mean, there's no rough. I was telling Ben, I was like, these are the, whatever course they're playing of the three, it's the easiest courses I've ever – it's the easiest golf course I've ever seen.
They got to be – in the area they're at, Kyle, they got to be resort courses that are catering to the people that are spending a lot of money to go out there and play these courses.
Don't have a PGA tournament there. I mean, the fairway, the first cut, and the rough are the exact same length. They're just different colors. Like the rough is just dormant and dead. The fairway, I assume, is like ryegrass, and then the first cut's like a little bit thicker ryegrass, but it's not really. Like I was watching one of the holes, and they hit a ball, and they're like, oh, that might creep back into the fairway. I'm like, who cares? It's the same, like it's the same lie all three places.
It's that way about around the green too. Like the green, like nobody gets a bad lie around the green. They're like, oh, he's going to miss the green. It's like, doesn't matter. He can putt from 50 feet off the green.
The greens are like completely flat. Like there is no undulation whatsoever. John Rahm, if you get this tournament, it's one John Rahm got caught on a mic saying, it's a effing putting contest out here. Cause basically there's very little hazard. There's very little penalty. So everybody that hits the ball off the tee is pretty much in play, which means almost everybody's going to be on the green, which means whoever makes the most putt. It's not one of those things where it's like whoever drives the ball in the fairway this week is going to have a better chance of winning. Whoever hits the ball the longest is going to have a better chance to win. Whoever can get up and down the best is going to win this. It's nothing like that. It's literally just bomb it, flip a wedge up there. Like, I don't even know the total yardage, but like there's tons of par threes. I mean, par fours that are inside up 400 yards. So
yeah,
I don't know why you have a pro tournament here. I mean, I guess it's fun. Birdie fests are fun, but it's like, And the best did rise to the top. So John Rahm did rise to the top, but I don't know.
I like Birdie Fest. I don't like it when I like Birdie Fest on a course that's got soft greens.
Yeah.
You know, so they can throw it at the stick they can throw a 4-iron and sit it down at the stick. I like that because I like watching guys do that. I don't like it where every hole is driver 60-degree wedge. And that seems like that's what it was. Even on par fives, it was driver 8-iron into the green. And you're sitting there going, that's not the kind of birdie fest I'm talking about. Like you just like the way John Rahm put it, it's a pitch and putt.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's very pitch and putt.
For those guys that can hit it that are averaging 308 yards off the tee, this course, when you average 308 and the fairway's also 308 yards wide, it's going to be very easy to score the golf ball for those guys.
Right.
Because even if they're having a bad day driving, they're not going to miss the fairway. And when they do, as you just said, they just go into a different colored looking fairway.
Exactly.
So it's like if you hear a guy, if you hear the announcer during this tournament go, "Oh, that's out of bounds," then that guy's hit the worst golf shot known to man. I hope they got it on film because it's going to be in like the Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. So, like I said, John Rahm wins. There was a little bit of drama. The coolest hole on this whole course, I think it's pretty underrated, but it's a it's number 17 on the whatever of the – it's a three – this was a – like I said, they played on three courses. So, whatever the third one is they play on, I think it's the stadium course. It's a Pete Dye course. But
it is Pete Dye Stadium course. I'm reading that right now.
There is
at first,
a,
I told you the SC stood for South course, but it's stadium course.
There is – yeah, I knew – I watched it, so I kind of figured I knew that. So there was a there is an island green at on the 17th hole, and it is a legit, like, I mean, it's a big circular island, 160 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That I think they are. I think Davis is one shot back at this point in time. Davis Thompson, he hits one deep, so he's about, I don't know, 40, 45 feet. It's a long putt. It's a really long putt.
Yeah.
And he leaves the flag in. Okay. So he putts, and it is literally all over it. All over. It's a 48-foot putt. All over it. I mean, tracking. Like, oh, my God, it's going to go in. It hits the center of the stick and stops, like, and then, like, bounces off. But somehow it bounces off to, like, a foot and a half. Like, if it, I really think if the stick was not in, it goes in.
See, I disagree.
I did
see that shot. I did see that putt. Just watching some of the highlights, I saw that putt, and I thought, my first thought was, because I first time I watched it without sound, and then I watched it with sound and heard what the announcer said about how he got screwed and how that ball may have fallen. So watching it without sound, I was like, bro, if he doesn't hit the stick right there, he rolls that ball off the green.
I don't know, Ben. It was
like
it had
some base to it.
It was a really pretty putt. Like, it was a beautiful, beautiful putt. And but the thing is, it was so dead center.
Yeah.
Even with pace, like, it could have done the whole bank shot. Like,
yeah,
hit the back, popped up, and dropped in. Like,
you're right.
It was the most pure 48-foot putt you could have, dead in the heart, and he misses it. So then they go to number 18, which actually is another pretty cool hole because it's like one of the – there's a lot of water on it,
mm-hmm.
But you just – it's a hard hole. It's hard to make birdie. So John Rahm wins by one shot, and he jumps to number one in the FedEx Cup, but he couldn't – I saw that. He could not advance to number one in the world. He was number four, I believe. He did not have enough points to jump to number one in the world. So,
which, by the way, I want to do a little bit more research on it, but I think one of our shows this week is going to have to do with world golf rankings because I get John Rahm's frustration.
About?
Well, there was a guy, and I forgot who the player was. There was a guy that is actually behind John Rahm in the world rankings, and if he would have won, he could get to one, but John Rahm could not get to one.
And what was that based off of?
I had the formula, the thing that they – something to do with the formula that they're doing. Because he was
dumb.
Because he was even saying – that was his argument, is he said in one of his press conferences. Of course, he's never been one to shy away from making comments about something that he doesn't agree with. But he said it's just confusing. He goes, I would have thought – he said, I've basically won six times out of the last nine tournaments that I've been in, and I'm still not number one. I don't understand what goes on there. I don't know how that works. And so –
does it have to do with, like, okay, so – if that guy would have beat John Rahm and John Rahm would have came in number two, he would have jumped him.
Yes.
Where did this guy finish on the thing?
I don't know. I'd have to look. That's why I said I need to do more research. I'd have to look at who it was. It's got to be – it can only be like one of four guys that could have done it. There were
Scheffler maybe or somebody behind.
Probably Scheffler. It's probably Scheffler.
Well, see, Scheffler finished – Scheffler finished 11th. So I think what it's saying, I think you get more points if the the higher ranked people are up towards the top of the leaderboard. So if Scheffler would have beat Rahm and Rahm would have came in second, that's a ton of points because you're beating a guy that, I mean, you're just beating somebody that's higher than you. I mean, it's probably, I mean, I'm probably way oversimplifying it, but I get it. I get it. But, you know, just keep winning. Just keep playing good and you'll be there.
Yeah,
you know?
Just keep winning.
You'll keep, that, he just needs keep to take playing
the,
good.
He needs to take the attitude that Scheffler's got. They ask him all the time about being number one. He goes, that's not something I'm really paying attention to. He goes, if I come out here and I win golf tournaments, that number one thing will take care of itself.
Yeah. Hey, here's another thing. This is kind of a side note. Tom Kim, love watching Tom Kim. You know, most of the Asian players are very reserved. This dude gets jacked up, and I really like it. You know, he's still doing the whole.
Yes,
he birdied.
He did the whole. You know, give me some after he made a putt.
He birdied 18, which is a hard hole to birdie, and he threw the you know the hand behind the ear. Really good, really good. So we talked about the course and how we weren't crazy about it. Probably shouldn't be. There's better courses where you could have a pro. There's just better, more appealing courses that you could have a pro tournament. I know this one probably pays a lot of money and whatever tradition. I don't know if there's tradition there or not, but
no, they're paying money. So then people like me and you will go play that court or play those courses and say, hey, this is where the pros play.
I would love to go play those.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, I would love it.
I mean, I feel like I could definitely break 80. I'm going to break 90 there. Cause I just keep it in
place. Yeah, because I mean, hard from the tips, I ran through the holes when you were talking about 17. I pulled it up and I just went to scanning through the holes. I mean, from the tips, they got par fours that are 350 yards.
Yeah, give me a bunch of those.
That means if I'm playing from the whites or the what we call the orange, like at the AU club, and not playing from the tips, there's an opportunity for me to probably drive some greens out there.
Yeah. And you just slap it as far as you can. I mean, there's no trouble anywhere. So I'm in here. I'm definitely would like to go play this place, but we're going to talk about our favorite courses, top five favorite courses that are played every year. So we're going to rank our top five courses that are played every year. Just because, you know, we're talking about how we don't like this course, what courses do we like? So, but before we do that, we want to give a shout out to Blue Tees Rangefinders, because when you go play these courses, you need to be prepared. You got to have your laser with you. If you're playing without one, you're probably playing slow and you're playing and it's just not smart. You're thinking, oh, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. Baloney. Okay. The Blue Tees is not only can you pay a fraction of the price and still get all the features of the top dollar ones that are, you know, the $600-$700 rangefinders, you can save with our coupon code. Use coupon code DADBOD, take 10% off your order. You can get Bluetooth speakers, the rangefinder, the Series 3 rangefinder with toggle on and off slope, the magnet on the side, the buzz lock on, everything you can ask for. And they look really cool too. In a rangefinder, and you shoot that one and a top notch one, top dollar one, you're going to be within a couple of yards, and sometimes you may be better off with the Blue Tee. So check them out. There's really no reason not to have one. If you're going to be a serious golfer, you got to have a rangefinder. So Blue Tees Golf is where rangefinders start. So, all right. So the category is, you know, Ben and I were talking about, you know, we weren't crazy about the PGA West or whatever it's called over there where they have the American Express. So what are our favorite courses that are played every year? Not like just random, not the random U.S. Open courses like the Oakmonts. I mean, Wingfoot, you can go for it, but this is the courses that are played every single year, our top five. Okay. So, Ben, let's just go. You give me your one. We'll talk about – I'll give you my one. We'll talk about it.
Are we starting from the top? We starting from one?
Just start at the top.
I mean, I think it's no secret what my number one's going to be.
Our one's probably going to be the same. We probably should have gone 2 through 5. But
it's got to be Augusta National for me.
Sure.
I mean, everybody says, yeah, but – because even Kyle's made the argument, and I do agree with it. I mean, it can play depending on where you're at. It can play kind of short. Some of the fairways are pretty wide open. But still, it just for the prestige, number one. Number two, the tradition. things that you can't do. I mean, you and I, even if we had best friends that belong there, we cannot go into the champions locker room. Like right. stuff that you're not allowed to do. The fact that
the mystique.
Yeah. The mystique of stuff that you don't, some of the things you even don't know about. And everybody that I've ever talked to that's played it, they've always talked about it was flawless. Even when they played in a random month, it was absolutely flawless.
Yep.
And so number one to me has got to be Augusta National and being able to, I mean, it's like you and I have said, I mean, it's just, it's hallowed ground. Like you walk on and you just feel different when you walk through the gates there. And I think that'd be the same, even if we showed up there and there was not a soul in sight. Like if we just walked around the place empty, I still think it would be, I mean, everybody that plays, it says the very first tee, these are collegiate golf. They say they're nervous.
Yeah. They play golf in front of people yeah. that big time pressure. You're not playing in the Masters. You just go play for a recreational.
Yeah, you're just playing.
And you can't draw the club back on the first tee. Like I get it. It's the most, to me, it's one of the most aesthetically pleasing golf courses to watch yes. as well, especially in the spring. I know it can get kind of, you know, burn up a little bit in the summer, in the hot months, but like we've seen it in the fall now and we've seen it in the spring. Obviously, a million times. It's just the way the flowers, the grass is perfect. The greens are perfect. The bunkers are everything about it is mm-hmm. just beautiful. I was the first time I went, and I'm going again, obviously, because y'all know I won tickets for the practice round. But like the little details, like mowing the grass down into the water with those like hovering hand lawnmowers, like it's crazy, like that they don't miss, and it's yeah. it's absolutely perfect. Like I said, we should have gone 2 through 5 because number one, if you say anything else, you're just trying to be a contrarian. Like you're, yes. you're trying to be. It's the best course that they play every single year, hands down. Can't beat it. So
when pros tell you that, then you know that it's. I know Boo had his bad experiences with it. Yeah. But his was more along the lines of them tinkering with it. His wasn't the fact that the course was awful. He was basically complaining about how they handle it when they're like, oh, scores are getting too low. Let's dry out the greens. And they suck the water out from underneath them. He wasn't complaining about the course itself. It was more the maintenance crew that controlled it. So, I'm with you. If you say anything, when you're going through this, if you say anything other than Augusta, you better damn well live on the golf course that you're saying what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you say Torrey or Pebble, you better have a house there. Like yeah. that's the only way you get to change it.
Only way. No, it's Augusta. And if you want to make another argument, I probably won't even pay attention. But anyway, Ben, this is where it could get a little bit interesting. So give me your number two.
My number two, I go from Augusta over here on the eastern, southeastern portion of the United States to TP Sawgrass right underneath it. Wow. I want to stay in this area. So I go Sawgrass, wow. Home of the Players. I love watching it. I think it's awesome. You know, I have never played it. I have walked it. And I think it's just absolutely fantastic. I absolutely love it. Island Green, everything from – I love 18 when they're coming down 18 as well. That's my – like if somebody said – if somebody said you can play any course you want, of course I would say Augusta. But if they said you play any course you want but Augusta, what is one of the courses that you'd want to play? And I would probably rank – if it had to be a regular, it'd be TPC Sawgrass. See, the thing that rules this out, qualifications, I'm going to remind everybody what Kyle said, this is what they play everywhere. So we can't even say the British Open because that makes its way around like 7-8 different courses.
Right.
Which that's another argument itself because I still think they ought to just keep it in Scotland the entire time and play at the home of golf, but whatever. That's another day and another argument. But we can't say St. Andrews because they don't play St. Andrews every year.
Right.
So that's why I chose TPC Sawgrass.
So that's almost as bad as not putting Augusta number one to me. is ranking.
I knew you were going to go there.
Is ranking TPC Sawgrass over Pebble Beach. That's almost like I'm just trying to not be too be.
And I'll tell you. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. I'll tell you why in a little bit.
Okay. I mean the Pebble Beach. Not only do you get to play there every year, but they've had U.S. Opens there. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's the scenery. The I mean, number seven is a 100-yard par three, like that. That's hard to make a par on, so, like hard to make a bogey sometimes on because of the. I mean, you got number nine where Jordan Spieth almost fell off into the canyon. You got, I mean, every hole. Like, can you name a hole? I'm trying to think. One after one. At one may be the most boring hole on the course. And then after one, it's like two's an awesome par five. Three's an awesome short par four. Four, I mean, you got just hole after hole of just all like perfection, like just awesome golf alongside the beach. I don't know how you get any better than the only thing that can beat that is Augusta. In my opinion. So I love TPC Sawgrass, but I got to go Pebble Beach number two, hands down. Like no question. Almost 1B. It may be like Augusta 1A and Pebble Beach 1B, but I know you got to go 1-2. So I'm going to go Pebble number two.
Well, I went with Pebble number three, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
TPC still has the Bermuda greens, and you're pretty much going to get the same kind of weather year round there. It may be hotter in the summer, but even in the winter, it's not going to be too terribly cold. Like you could play at any point in time. You could be at Pebble in June and you could still be freezing your ass off and be miserable out there on the course. So mine has really got more to do with course conditions and seeing those videos of those guys hitting three woods into that 100-yard par three. I'm like, that sounds absolutely miserable. That would be great the day that I went. After that, I'd be like, that was absolutely stupid that I just paid $1,000 and I was having to play in this kind of weather. So that's why Pebble went down to number three. It's just because it's just ever-changing. I mean, those guys could be in long sleeves and sweaters one day, and then the next day they're sweating through their golf shirt. So I put Pebble down there. It's still the scenery. Yes, I was not going to put anything else above Pebble. That was for sure. Like looking at all the rest of the courses. But yeah, that's why Pebble goes to number three for me.
See, I don't even have Sawgrass as number three for me. So my number three, and this may be a little bit controversial, but I'll explain it. I like TPC Scottsdale is my number three.
It's on one of my honorable mentions.
So, and this is why over the years I've grown to love like how courses finish. I love to watch holes that set up for drama down the stretch for finish. And there may not be a better four stretches for a finishing four holes on the tour. Like, I don't know that I can think of a better, maybe, I mean, see, right. Like I even think about Pebble. I know what 17 and I know what 18 are, but what are I can't think of just off the top of my head what 15 and 16 are. I mean, I think 15 is the par five. And then 16's the layup par, maybe the layup par four where you hit it to the edge and hit it across. I think that's right. But you got a very drivable, not drivable. You got a very gettable par five with like an island green on 15. Then you go to 16, which is the stadium par three. Now, granted, if we played it, that would not be there. So,
right.
How does that change? It's just a basic par three that, you know, that just there. It's the same par three everywhere. 165, 170 yard par three. It's the same par three at like every course you play. But I didn't say best course to play. I said best course that these guys play.
Yeah.
So I think when you put the stadium around it, however many people can fit in it, 50,000-60,000 people, whatever. So you got that. Then you got 17, which is the 300-yard par three with water right by the green that if anything gets going left, it's in the water. It brings so much risk reward into it, so much drama there. And then you got 18, which is a awesome driving hole visually. Beautiful par four with danger everywhere. So I would challenge anybody to come up with a better closing four holes that's played every single year on tour than TPC Scottsdale. That's my number three. What do you have to say about that?
No, I like it. Made my honorable mentions. I mean, I've said before, one of my bucket list things that I want to do is go out and attend the tournament the same year that they have the Super Bowl being hosted there. Ooh. And do the tournament during the day, get over to see the game at night, and then get back and try to get a tee time where the following day could play the course that the pros just played. Like, that would be my ultimate, like, that's one of my bucket list trips. I know everybody talks about Augusta or TPC or Pebble. I'm like, that would be cool. But the fact that you can go there and you can watch a golf tournament, you can sit on 16. You don't want to get too drunk because you do have to make it to the game that night, but you can have a few beverages and then get the Super Bowl in that evening and then get back out there and play the next day. That'd be awesome.
How much, if what do you think money wise it would, think about everything from airplanes to hotel to tickets to the Super Bowl to greens fees, flight back? What do you think that would cost? Like, if you just had to guess.
Oh God, I think probably 10 grand.
I'm thinking you're in that stadium, your Super Bowl ticket's going to be probably $2,500 to $5,000 for one ticket.
The cheapest thing you're going to have out there the entire time is the flight.
I mean, the flight. And the flight's going to be over $1,000 because everybody's going to be trying to fly there. So, you could probably stay somewhere. Probably, let's just say, if you stay anywhere close, you're probably $1,000 a night.
No, I did look at that. The room rates are actually a reasonable rate. If you stay at the course, you got to drive in order to get in to see the – so
yeah,
it's not like close. So you can get away with like $250 to $350 a night as far as your hotel room is concerned.
So 10 grand.
I say 10 to 12 grand maybe.
Wow. If you just got 10 grand to blow, I would
– Hey, listen, you guys need to buy – this is the time where y'all need to go buy some more blue tees. Kyle and I are trying to get this this thing.
Blue tees and swamp, yeah.
And so, nope. You're looking at 10 grand. So that's a hefty – but, what a blast. What a weekend that is.
So something I saw – I want to go back to Pebble for a second. So tell me if you would do this. So I saw a buddy of mine who was talking about how he booked a trip to Pebble. Mm-hmm. But he booked it. There's actually during the summer, they do what's called a light aeration, where they don't do the deep punches. They do the light punches. And it's an aeration rate for 10 days. And he got it. He booked it on the eighth day or something like that, the eighth or ninth day after the aeration. And he says it's a light punch. I've had people tell me that if you can get in that somewhere in that 8 to 10, they're almost perfect. It's almost like half price. So you go from like 600 to 300 for aeration rate. So that may be the way to go. That may be the way to go.
Again, our mutual friend, and I won't call his name because he may not want, but when he goes out there, you still pay less than 300 if you stay at the resort there.
Okay.
So you could do either or. Like, you got to stay somewhere, so you might as well stay at the resort. Now, the rooms are a little bit higher, but still, your greens fees are like $250 if you stay at the resort. Because it is kind of away from everything, so you're going to eat there. They know they're going to get you on food, beverage, all that kind of stuff. You're not going anywhere.
Right.
That's the way he does it. They just stay there. They're like, you might as well stay there. Because you can do what he did, and you can stay somewhere else and drive in and play, or you can just stay there and you still get that reduced rate because they look out for you for paying for that. So let's move on to number four.
Yeah, what's your number four?
Number four, I had Torrey on there.
Yeah.
So that was another honorable mention. I went from Torrey, though, to a course that I've really loved watching. You always find out about superstars being there because it's in L.A. and it's Riviera.
Oh, Riv. Spectacular.
And it's another one that for some reason, I guess because I'm so glued, clued in and glued in to watching it, that like I recognize holes from Riviera.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I got to put Riviera on there. Plus, the scenery's not bad. That, coming up 18 is always very
spectacular.
Cool.
You got the par three with the bunker in the middle of it. There's all kinds of stuff.
And then everything about it is
par four. What par four is it?
Isn't that the Genesis Open now? Isn't that what they call
Genesis.
It?
Yeah. There's a par four that Jack Nicklaus always talks about. It's like you can go for it or you can lay back, and it's like one of the hardest short par fours.
That's the one where Colin Morikawa walked out in front of JT when he went to the bathroom, and JT was going to be going for it. And about the time he started his downswing, Colin comes out like from the bathroom from using the potty, and like then all of a sudden like freaked JT out. He's like, oh, and then he just didn't know what to do, and he froze, and he went and sat down, and JT kept giving him shit about it.
That's great. So that's your number four is Riv. That's a great one.
It's one that you recognize it. You see it on television, even when they show shots of it, when people aren't there, and you're like, that's Riviera.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. My number four is – I just had it, and it just left me. Sawgrass. Sawgrass is my number four. So I know – you know, even though it's almost the fifth major, it should be the fifth major. If you ask the pros – other than like Augusta, that's one of the ones they want to win because it's all world ranking based. It's the best field in golf.
Yeah.
It's the best field, even out of all the majors. So, the course is beautiful and they do it, them doing it in March now. It's all over. It's perfectly manicured, perfect weather, perfect grass, perfect color. Everything is perfect if the weather cooperates. But if the weather when the weather doesn't cooperate, it's absolute carnage. Which it's not the year Cam Smith won. Was that this past year? Or was it year prior?
This past year.
Yeah, where
pretty
like
sure it was the past, yeah,
we're like over one of the rounds or one a couple of the rounds. Like if you shot close to even from over par, like you were doing really really good. Like JT shot one under. Or 2 under, and they talked about it's one of the greatest rounds of golf that's ever been played because the weather was so terrible. So,
and didn't he even say it at one point during his interview? He said that's the best round of golf he's ever played.
Yeah, best round of golf he's ever played. So, you memorize a lot of the holes, like a lot of the holes you can see people play, and you know where they are on the course. Mm-hmm. I love that. That to me makes the course go way up to me. The memorable holes, the par fives are great. It requires you to do a bunch of different – hit a bunch of different shots. And then, obviously, you got the 17th. And then the hard one – I mean, probably it's got to be the hardest – I mean, I can't think of a much harder finishing hole on tour. Like, it's – that's played every year. Like, it's an incredibly tough finishing hole. That's a really good three-hole closing stretch. 16, yes. 17 – 16, the par 5, 17. That's a really, really solid three-hole closing stretch. So TPC Sawgrass is definitely my number four. I can't wait to hear your number five. I got a feeling I might know what it is, but I want to hear what you say.
There's no chance. I actually told Grayson Huff Kyle's gonna be so mad at me at number five because the first thing you're gonna I'm not gonna tell you what the first thing you're gonna say is, but
let me guess it.
Okay,
Kapalua.
Damn it.
I knew it.
I had my honorable mentions because I came really close to putting this in here. Because it's just been a recent one as of late, because I used not to do it here. Number one was, I told you, TPC Scottsdale was one of my honorable mentions. Bay Hill, Arnie's Tournament. Another one that you can just recognize what the holes that they're on. They're a couple of drivable par fours.
There's the par five. Is it six? Is the par five that's like, it's 340 to carry, but you got to hit it all over. Yeah, see, I like Bay Hill, but I don't remember a lot. It's not very – to me, I remember 18, and I remember that hole, and that's about all I got.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That hole and 18, that's about all I got.
It was a lot cooler when the late Arnold Palmer was still around to greet him. That's why I do love the Memorial, too. It's another one that got an honorable mention just because it's Jack's tournament. But, again, kind of like what you said about Bay Hill, 18 sticks out in my mind on Memorial. But other than that, if you said name hole number six, I'd be like, I got to go look it up.
I got nothing.
Like,
yeah.
And then the other one that just almost snuck in that they just started playing not so long ago. Again, this ties in with the same reason as Augusta, because when we heard the stories about how you and I just we're not even allowed to play there. And that'd be Austin Country Club when they play the Dell.
That is an awesome, awesome golf course.
So that is another one that made honorable mention that I almost chose just because. We can't play there. Like we were told that that's just a place that is very prestigious in Austin, Texas. They don't let you play.
Yeah.
And so, it's Kapalua and not as much as the course, as much as Lori summed it up when I was watching it. Was that last week or week before? Anyway, it all runs together now. When I was watching it and about three shots in a row, she never watches golf. She like looks up from her iPad and she goes, "That is absolutely beautiful." And I was like, "I know." Can you imagine standing on top of the hill? You're in Hawaii. There's the ocean behind you. There's mountains behind the ocean.
Yeah, and volcanoes like off in the distance.
Yeah, like you're just constantly, and you see it from the players. They're constantly walking around and looking, like they're just looking at different sites that they can see from the course. So yeah, it's Kapalua, and I love the way it finishes. I love the way that they got a lot of downhill shots because I'm a short hitter. So I would love the fact that I could probably get some 300 yarders out there with no problem. It always looks. I mean, it's 68 to 78 degrees and beautiful out there at all times.
Yep.
So you're never going to have a bad day.
Yeah, it's a good one. It was definitely on my list. I knew that's the one you were going to go with. I don't know why. I just knew that's the one you're going to go with. Maybe because you tried to pull the old win two tournaments when we said you could only win one, and you picked that one because it meant you won another one. So
yes.
But yeah, that's what I was thinking. That was going to be your top one. So mine. What do you think mine is? Just guess.
We know it's not Bay Hill.
It's not Bay Hill.
You've already established that. You kind of bit a little bit on Austin Country Club, but I don't think you thought of that one. I don't think that's
Mm-mm.
It. Would it be Harbortown?
No.
You always like Harbortown. You always talk about how much you love it.
I like Harbortown, but my top one's East Lake.
You know what?
Number five is East Lake. East Lake.
Yeah. But you played it.
I played it, so that's a little bit of a you know, helps me out a little bit. But like, that's another one. I can name you a lot of the holes on the course even before I played it. I know several. There's probably about on the front nine. There's probably about three holes on the front nine that are very similar. So like, but outside of those three, all the other ones are great. Like you got eight that's like treacherous tee shot right along the water, short par four, or maybe that's it's eight because nine's the long par three, the 200 yard par three. So
is that where you played it from? That's where they played it from with the men and women.
It was about 200 yards, 180 to 200 yards.
Or the whatever cup that East Lake was Cup. That they played. Yeah, East Lake Cup that they played that the Auburn women were in, because the women played it at 135.
Are you talking about the one on the water or the one on number nine?
One on the water.
That is 15.
Okay. All right.
15, 16. So, yeah, that's 15. So 15, that I was a little bit disappointed. That tee box where they play it from, that they play the tour championship from, is spectacular. But you can't even go look. They won't even let you look at it. But it's like it's behind a little row of tree, like there's like a little bit of a row of trees, and then on the other side of it is the tee box. But like your tips that you can play are nowhere near those. Like those are, so you honestly aren't hitting over a ton of water, whereas that other one is full carry, full send, 100% over.
No, because that's what they were doing with the guys at the East Lake Cup. The guys were teeing off from that one.
Yeah.
And it was playing.
We probably played from where the girls was, because it was probably 145, 150. That's about.
I was going to say, one of the days the girls played, it was 135, and one of the days it was 155. They moved them back a box. So you probably played it from the 155.
Yep, that's probably the one we played it.
Okay.
So East Lake, you just feel the history. And like I said, it's a laid-back tournament that you know all the holes. 18's an awesome finishing hole, especially if there's something on the line. And then 17 is also a really cool hole. It's a short par four. It's not really drivable, but they can always throw it up there pretty tight and then flip a little wedge up. It's a good scoring hole. So I'm going to go East Lake number five for sure. Austin, I wasn't thinking about Austin, but if I would have thought about Austin, I may have slid that into number five, because that's probably my number six. I mean,
and you get to see so much of it too, because with it being match play, they show every hole as opposed to a lot of times when we're watching a golf tournament, they're like,
that's such a good point.
Two and they get to nine, so we don't get to see holes one through eight.
That's such a good point.
And which is, by the way, let me get off on a rant about that for a little bit. TV guy, we don't give a shit if somebody's in the booth or not. You guys start showing coverage from the first guy that tees off. Go ahead and just have a live stream running. We'll watch.
Yeah.
Us freaks will watch it. We don't have to have somebody telling us what's going on. We know what's going on.
It may be cool. Just have mics on the players and just, let's just watch it with no announcers. I like that. Yeah. Real quick, let's give a shout out to Swannies. Love Swannies. Those guys are great. Their styles are, they're amazing. You can get everything that you need to play golf right there, from a apparel standpoint, from your polo to your tops to bottoms, pullovers, hats, everything you can imagine, belts, t-shirts, they got it. So, log on today, use coupon code DadBodGolfPod -25, take 25% off your next order until they turn our code off. So keep going, save big. You're already going to save because you're not going to pay, you know, Peter Millar prices. You're going to pay, you know, a great, they got great, quality stuff, and you get to save even more off of an already low price. So Swannies.com, Swannies.co, not com.
Swannies.co, yep.
Make sure you don't put an M on the end. Life's a party, dress for it, F-O-R-E.
Okay. Yep.
Last thing, we'll do this real quick. It's a
before you get to that, I do have to say something. If I scream like a little bitch here between now and the end of the show, if you keep wondering why I keep looking up, there is a spider that is just barely hanging on to the ceiling up above me, and it's going to fall at some point while this show is going on.
That's terrifying. So
I just want you to be aware. And it looks about the size of my fist, be honest with you. So
that's terrifying.
I keep looking up. I'm worried this shit is
going to watching the Cowboys and the 49ers.
No, I don't have a TV in this room. This is the office, and this is the bonus room, so no TV in here.
All right, so we say we're going to end every show in 2023 on a Would You Rather. So Xander Schauffele had I would say even more the most rare shot in golf, which is an albatross, a two on a par five, and it was on a really cool hole where it was like forced carry over the water, hits on the front of the green, rolls into like a putt. So the Would You Rather is. Would you rather the longest club in your bag that's not your driver? So say if it's a 3-wood, if it's a hybrid, whatever the yardage is on the longest club you have in your bag, you get to have an albatross. Okay. Or you get to have a hole in one that's like 140 or under. So like 125 to 140, you get a hole in one from there, or you get an albatross from like full sin. So it could be how far you hit your 3-wood, Ben, off the ground.
240 maybe.
Okay. If you nut one, 240. Yeah. There you go. So you get a hole out from 240 for a two, or you get a 9-iron to pitching wedge hole in one on a par three. What do you take?
Hole in one.
Oh, wow.
And the only reason, and I don't know if you know this, I've had an albatross.
Wow. Okay.
Number one, Andalusia Country Club. Par five.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
5-wood. However, I think that was when I was first getting, I was maybe either a senior in high school or a freshman in college. I forgot, but I was playing with my dad. And I mean, I probably still shot 95. So even with an albatross, but still.
It's a good start.
Yeah, that was
you
one of those.
Can't go any higher than that on number one.
Yeah. I'll never forget. It was one of those things. We're looking all over the green. He's like, did you look in the hole? I was like, there's no chances.
It's a blind tee shot. I mean, it's a blind second shot. So you don't see it. That kind of takes away from it a little bit, but
that took away from it a ton. I mean, except for writing that score down on the card, it took away from it a ton.
But how many par fives are there? You think there's not they're so far away. It ought to be hard to see any go in.
Yeah, thinking like some of the ones that you and I play, like the links here at RTJ, that number two, that's because you're elevated in the fairway, so you can see the whole green because the green slants towards the fairway. So you would see it go in there. Yeah. If it went in on the back side of the next par five, though, you'd never see it.
Yeah.
And so, you're right. I mean, when it comes to par fives, they're very few and far between. Most of them are elevated because they got them protected by bunkers too. So when you go for it, your ball can at least catch something to keep from going in the trash. So most par fives, you're not going to be able to see your albatross. That's why I say a hole in one, because I've never had one. And not to take anything away from that, because that's been 25 years since I've had an albatross, but still I've had one. And so I say hole in one just because I don't care if I'm hitting a 60-degree wedge. You know, if like with that albatross and what Xander did today, You can only put it in the right direction, Kyle, and just hope that it you're catching the green, it holds the green. If it goes in, that's just all the more fun for it. If you hit a 9-iron or a pitching wedge 140 yards, you're literally, you're not trying to make it, but you're damn sure trying to get close. So you've accomplished one of the most ultimate goals by actually making it, because you legit hit it where you wanted to hit it. Whereas on that albatross, I'm just trying to keep it online towards the green, catch the green, stay on the green.
Yeah.
And then when you get up there and you find out it goes in, it's like, oh crap, I got an albatross. So
there you go.
I'd be interested to ask, you know, Mike Hillier, who lives here, he holds like the world record. He's got like, what is like 6 holes-in-1s on par fours. Those are considered like albatrosses. Because he's been driven the green on a par four, but I'd be interested to see what his take would be. You don't count
that's a hole in one. That's a hole in one to me. Yeah. So I'm actually going to, this is going to shock you probably. I'm going to take the hole in one. I'm going to take the hole in one. I think the albatross is the more impressive shot. Mm-hmm. If I had to hit my 3-wood like full bore as far as I could hit it and it goes in and I make a 2, that'd be awesome. But like I just said, a lot of times on par fives, you're not going to know. You're not going to know it went in. So if it's 130 yard par three, you're pretty much, it's really hard not to, there's not many holes you can hold a par threes you can play from 130 yards where you won't see the ball go in. You know what I mean? And nobody asks you how many albatrosses you have. Nobody cares. It's just when you're talking, you're in a crowd. Nobody really cares. Nobody's ever going to ask you. They're going to ask you if you ever had a hole in one. They're not going to ask you if you ever had an albatross. So, yeah, I've had, you know, that would be if I had one, another one, that'd be 3. I mean, that just sounds awesome. You know what I mean? So, I would take the hole in one more people are going to talk about it. You're almost guaranteed to see the ball go in, and you get to have that moment of joy and jubilation on the tee box with your friends. And then the albatross, like I said, it's a more impressive shot. But even if somebody says, have you had a hole in one? You say, no, I've had an albatross. They will not ask you a follow-up question. They don't care. Nobody cares. Even though it's the more impressive shot. Am I right?
Or if it's somebody that hadn't been playing golf very long, they won't even know what you're talking about. They'll just be like,
am I right though?
Oh, I never thought of it like that. You're right. I mean, if you said, you know, we're all standing on tee, we're on a par three or whatever, you're like, man, have you ever had a hole in one? No, I've had an albatross. Okay, cool.
Yeah, nobody's going to say like, what? How far was it? Like when I had the hole in one, everybody wanted to know all the details. Nobody's going to ask you any more details if you have an albatross, even though it's a more impressive shot. It's weird. We're weird creatures, but
it's a more impressive shot. It's a better score.
Yeah. It's three under versus two. Yeah. It's an amazing score. No, but it's just, I don't know. I'm going to take the hole in one, believe it or not, even though I've already had one and I can say, I can try to act like hole-in-ones aren't that cool anymore because I've had one within the last calendar year, but I would still take a hole-in-one over the albatross. So
I do love getting back to Kapalua, they finish on that par five. And when there are people in contention, they're like, if he hits it in here, I'm like, it's not that easy, man.
Yeah.
To hit it in from 280 yards out on a side hill lie where you got to land it up on the right side of the green and hope that it runs the right direction in order to go in.
Like, go ahead and give him the trophy. Like, when Colin melted down and he had to hole out his second shot from the fairway to tie,
I think. Yes, to tie.
Just give him the trophy. Like, it's not. Yeah. Just give.
Like what are y'all
give
doing?
Give Ron the trophy.
They act like that's like a normal thing. Every year when it comes down, and it's not just Kapalua, it's any tournament that finishes on a par five, they're like, well, if he holes out here,
They start talking about how it could possibly happen. Like what he has to do to hole it out. And it's like, guys, just shut up. Just shut up.
I've been watching golf for 40 years. I could count on one hand and I saw the highlights of Xander. That was it. But I count on one hand. I mean, albatrosses I've seen and they all act like it's just something that's going to happen. They're like, he's got a chance here. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't have a chance.
All right, man. Great show. Guys, have a great week. Hope this got you off on the good foot. It's going to be sketchy weather here in and out where we live. May get a little cool, but I think towards the end of the week, it's going to get really nice. So we may have to go. We have to go play. My birthday's coming up, Ben, so you might have to play golf with me this weekend for my birthday.
It's going to be like a high of 50 all week and rain until the weekend, and then we get like 65.
The weekend. So we're working for the weekend, baby. Working for the weekend. Y'all have a great week, and we will talk back on Wednesday. It's episode 257 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod, and we're always
stroking.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod, always stroking.